Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 9th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Three complaints against K-12 schools, including one in Moscow in first year of Idaho's K-12 school censorship law. Former state Supreme Court Judge John Stegner launches independent bid for Idaho governor. Steelhead Americas will bypass Whitman County's zoning rules and go to the state to get approval to build wind farm near Colfax. And jail time for one and probation for two others in Princeton animal cruelty case. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow. There were three complaints against K-12 schools under Idaho's one-year-old censorship law designed to prevent the display of anti-racist messages or pride flags in classrooms. The bill, which went into effect July 1st, 2025, says employees of public K-12 schools cannot display flags or banners that show opinions, emotions, beliefs, or thoughts about politics, economics, society, faith, or religion. Governor Brad Little signed House Bill 41 in March 2025. Republican Representative Edward H. Ted Hill of Eagle sponsored the bill, which says no flags or banners shall be displayed by a public elementary or public secondary school that represent a political viewpoint, including but not limited to flags or banners regarding a political party, PAC, sexual orientation, gender, or political ideology. One complaint was against a Moscow high school teacher who displayed a flag with a rainbow and the word pace on it, which is the Italian word for peace. According to the Idaho Education News, Moscow School Superintendent Sean Teagues responded to the February 2nd complaint by discussing the flag with the teacher, who decided to remove it from the classroom rather than waiting for a determination from the state as to whether the state law applies to it. In another complaint, someone complained anonymously on September 11th about a sign Jerome Middle School teacher Julie Kirk placed on her classroom door that says, "Everyone is welcome here." After Jerome School District Superintendent Brent Johnson spoke to the teacher, she took the sign down. Kirk wrote in an email to the Idaho Education News that she does not believe the sign violates the state censorship law. Kirk wrote, "I love my district and our administrators, and I would never want to take time or energy away from the many real and pressing issues we face in education. It is disheartening that a sign meant simply to reassure students that they are welcome has been turned into something political." A resident of the Lake Ponderay School District in the Idaho Panhandle filed a complaint in July of last year saying signs that have the motto "In God We Trust" violated the state law because it's a religious belief and not everyone's opinion. Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield responded to the complaint saying the signs are permitted because there's a different law that allows the national motto to be displayed in public schools. When House Bill 41 was going through the legislature last year, then West Ada School District teacher Sarah Inama made national news by refusing to remove a sign that says "Everyone is welcome here" from her classroom after administrators ordered her to. The sign, which shows multiracial hands, had been on display in Inama's classroom for years. Attorney General Raul Labrador wrote in an opinion last year that Inama's sign would violate House Bill 41, but Inama quit the district and got another job with the Boise School District, where she said administrators told her she could display the sign in her classroom. Former Idaho Supreme Court Judge John Stegner, who served for years on the bench in Moscow as a second district judge, has launched an independent run for governor. Incumbent Republican Governor Brad Little is running for a third term this year, and the Democrat in the race is Terry Pickens. The 72-year-old Stegner says his candidacy should be a welcome alternative to partisan campaigns, Stegner told the Lewiston Tribune. I think people are eager to vote for leaders over labels. That, I think, is part of who I am and part of the message that I bring. Stegner touts his role creating the drug court and mental health court in Latah County. He said, I think the society needs to provide mental health care and drug addiction care for people who aren't in the criminal justice system. And when we figure that out, we will have made Idaho safer and better. Stegner says lawmakers and other state officials do not take into account public opinion when making laws. He noted Governor Little signed the $50 million taxpayer dollars for private and religious schools bill after his office received veto messages from 86% of respondents. He said there's a recognized disconnect between what's going on, what's being told to our elected officials. Wind project developer Steelhead Americas has submitted a pre-application to the Washington Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council to move forward with the Harvest Hills Wind Project in Whitman County near Colfax. The submission comes after Whitman County commissioners voted in March to ban commercial wind farms in the county, but under Washington law, the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, which the governor appoints, can override local zoning for certain clean energy projects. Steelhead Americas wants to build what they call the Harvest Hills Wind Project, which would consist of 45 wind turbines on private land near Colfax along State Route 272. According to the Daily News, Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council Public Information Officer Carl Jalapa confirmed Steelhead Americas' first step the developer must make a pre-application process. Local residents have pushed back against the project at well-attended public meetings, saying it will reduce land values and harm agricultural activity. NEMIPU Protecting the Environment sent a letter to Governor Bob Ferguson and the State Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council saying the project should move forward. NEMIPU Protecting the Environment is a nonprofit devoted to safeguarding natural resources and the preservation of the Nez Perce tribe's cultural values. In a letter, NEMIPU Protecting the Environment coordinator and board member Julian Matthews wrote, NEMIPU Protecting the Environment supports responsibly sited and developed renewable energy projects within our ceded territories when they are consistent with environmental protection, climate resilience, and long-term stewardship of the land. As an organization rooted in the Nez Perce tribe and our ancestral homelands, we serve as an advocate for protection of land, water, air, and culturally significant landscapes within our treaty and traditional territories. NEMIPU Protecting the Environment says renewable energy development on the Harvest Hills project on ceded territory would improve air quality, support regional climate goals, and lend support to ways to transition away from carbon-based energy sources, which affect the Columbia and Snake River basins unfavorably. NEMIPU Protecting the Environment also wants the four lower Snake River dams removed. Harvest Hills Senior Development Manager Shane Roshi said, we're honored to receive the support of NEMIPU Protecting the Environment and appreciate the relationship we've built through ongoing engagement over the course of the project. At Steelhead, we believe successful projects are strengthened by meaningful collaboration and informed by local knowledge rooted in stewardship and a deep connection to the land. Listening, learning, and building relationships with local stakeholders are central to our development approach, and those partnerships help shape projects that deliver long-term benefits to communities. You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
Throughout the Pacific Northwest, federally maintained tribal fishing sites on the Columbia River will be getting repairs to keep them safe and functional. A new report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office found that 31 fishing access locations along the river have infrastructure that's breaking down, including restrooms and fish cleaning stations. Lori Jordan is with the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, which works with the Bureau of Indian Affairs to maintain the docks and facilities. She says the access sites are known as jewels of tribal sovereignty that are still shimmering along the sprawling waterway.
I just can't stress how fundamental the ability to maintain access to the river and to exercise the fishing right is to the member tribes of our commission. The treaty rights are a property right. It was taken. You got to compensate for that.
The fishing access locations were built by the federal government after 1930s dam construction flooded traditional fishing areas. Under their treaties, four Columbia River tribes retain fishing rights. Jordan says the tribes look forward to the improvements, including restroom repairs, additions, and updates to water systems. Anna Maria Ortiz is with the U.S. Government Accountability Office. She says the report also looked at why the repairs have been delayed for so long.
If BIA could be more effective in terms of its internal communications, the way it maintains data, and its funding formula, it would have a better chance at improving the safety and sanitation of these sites.
Jordan adds, with all the steps to secure funding, design the changes, permits, and construction, it will likely take a couple years before the repairs and updates are done. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Second District Magistrate Judge Sunil Ramalingam yesterday sentenced James Schraufnagel of Princeton to 180 days in jail with 150 days suspended with a probation period in an animal cruelty case. Ramalingam also sentenced Schraufnagel's wife, Janine Schraufnagel, and his mother, Bethany Davis, to 364 days probation with no jail time in the same case. All of the charges are misdemeanors. The investigation led to deputies removing 10 dogs from the Davis property January 5th, where James and Janine Schraufnagel rented a trailer on Davis's property. Investigators found two deceased dogs at the site, and a third dog later died of pneumonia after they rescued it. Magistrate Ramalingam also sentenced Schraufnagel to 4 years supervised probation, during which he cannot have any animals in his possession. At the trial, Idaho Animal Rescue Network Director Jenna Redhart presented prosecutors with video and photo evidence of the abuse. Redhart told the court she was asked to bring food for the dogs to the Princeton property. The videos showed dogs which were severely emaciated, as well as the dead dogs. Redhart said the months-long animal abuse was among the most severe animal neglect case she has ever witnessed. She said it was kind of a slow torture. Humane Society of Palouse Director Sierra Beeler said this case was among, quote, the top two of the worst we've seen. Beeler testified about how much weight each dog had to gain to become healthy. Beeler also said the case has cost the Humane Society $16,000 to care for the abused animals. According to court records, Janine Schraufnagel pled guilty to two counts of principle to animal cruelty, which means even though she does not own the dogs, she assisted her husband in mistreating the canines. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, it will be mostly clear tonight and tomorrow, low 52, high 87. partly cloudy Friday night, low 54, sunny, high 84 on Saturday, and partly cloudy Saturday night and Sunday, low 53, high 83. Current temperature is 81 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is coming up at 6:30. At 7:30, we'll have Appearing Locally, where we'll play music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area in the near future. And at 8 o'clock, a new show to the station, syndicated music show called Afrosonic Taxi. So stay tuned for that. KRFP Moscow Pullman.